Let's put a lens on the foreign exchange market as the Russian ruble continuing to devalue against the U.S. dollar. That is after the announcement yesterday that Russia would be stepping into Ukraine. This coming as the country's central bank says it will take action in the foreign exchange market for the first time in years in an effort to dampen volatility. Joining us now to discuss all of the action is Monex Europe head of FX and analysis, Simon Harvey. Simon, thank you so much for joining us, especially late from London. I wanted to just ask you broadly about the action that you've seen. Obviously, a lot of volatility in FX markets, specifically today. Is that just because they weren't properly pricing things in earlier in the week?
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I think it is the fact that they haven't. We've been talking about it at length for the course of the week, that there was this huge tail risk in markets that Putin would expand his military presence in Ukraine, but it was largely perceived that the economic consequences to both Russia and to the West were so significant that actually this was just a tail risk and an unlikely scenario to unfold. But lo and behold, overnight, we have seen a material escalation in geopolitical events, and the markets have had to readjust accordingly. Over the course of the week, we've really seen it play out in bond markets or local markets with geographical proximity to Russia and Ukraine, or just global equity markets. But FX markets have been fairly kind of limited in their reaction. So today, big repricing and further pain for the ruble.
And you've highlighted that, saying that right now it's still contained to European currencies, but that if there is an escalation on the military front, things could spill over. Does that suggest further strengthening for the dollar? And if so, how far do you see the greenback going?
Pretty much, yes. At the moment, it's predominantly been focused on European FX markets. I mean, today's repricing has been a more global risk repricing. So I think you'll see that stabilize to tomorrow. But what you'll see is the inflationary risk coming from higher European gas prices, higher European oil prices and precious metal prices continue to put place in increasing pressure on European FX markets, because there is that stagflationary risk that comes through. Elsewhere, you're going to have an inflationary risk, for example, in the US, where there's less exposure necessarily to the inflation push through in the commodity complex. There will be, but it won't be so detrimental that it starts to weigh on demand and really kind of downgrade the growth profile. So I think you are going to see, if things stabilize, it play out more within Europe. But if all of a sudden we start to see increase kind of escalation and continual pressure between the West and Russia, and tit-for-tat sanctions being imposed, threats of further military expansion, then we're going to see this play out in global markets undoubtedly. And there's very little kind of area to look for when it comes to hankering down in these scenarios outside of the dollar.
How much of that is priced in, Simon, to the European currencies? I mean, specifically the euro, a bit of a challenging situation there, because you know that if there is a real income and pretty substantial economic growth impact to Ukraine, that's going to impact the eurozone as well.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, the situation is really fluid. It kind of depends on where we're going with the sanctions and then any retaliatory impacts. I mean, with the eurozone, especially and the euro, it's mainly a case of, are Russia going to retaliate by limiting exports and cutting off gas supplies? If that's the case, then we're talking a doubling in European gas futures, and then all of a sudden, some real pain for eurodollar. So at the moment, everything's kind of up in the air. The longevity of the downside risks to the euro are similar to how long is a piece of string. And this is why we're all sitting on the edge of our seats waiting for Biden's comments, because that should be the catalyst to understand that's the West's response and the magnitude of it. And then we can roughly gauge where Russia's going to go with it. But in previous sanctions periods, Russia has kept the flow of gas going into Europe pretty kind of unimpeded. Now, obviously, this is a much larger scale than 2014. And therefore, there is that risk that there could be a complete locking off of Russian exports, or even sanctions, even restricting exports anyway. So it could be imposed by the West. That's going to determine where we're going with next steps within FX markets and next steps for the eurozone economy.
I mean, Simon, obviously, yeah, the developments are something that we're going to have to watch, but it seems like in the maybe sovereign bond markets, we're already seeing people pricing in the full extent of what could be further escalation here. I mean, we're seeing some reports, and I need to kind of dig a little bit deeper to see how substantial these are, about some banks triggering margin calls as they slash Russian bond values to zero, essentially. How important is that story going to be? Is sovereign debt actually perhaps leading action in FX?
Sovereign debt's an interesting one. It has spillovers into the FX market, but when it comes to Russian sovereign debt, it's more a case of liquidity and counterparty risk than necessarily default risk. It's very difficult to trade Russian assets at the moment, especially with impending sanctions. So it's more a case of banks trying to limit their exposure for assets they can't then shift off of their balance sheets. We're seeing the same happen in kind of restrictions in offshore liquidity for the Russian ruble as well. And it's a case of the hot potato. No one wants to be left holding it if all of a sudden the West imposes sanctions such that you can't then shift these assets off and you're stuck with them. And they potentially may not be paid if Russia says, well, we're actually just going to default on external financing because we can't raise any more financing there anyway. So our credibility doesn't really matter. This is what we're seeing play out now in payments and the FX market specifically. It's difficult to see a complete isolation in Russia purely because of the way in which global trade works. Now, this is being discussed with regards to access to the SWIFT network. It's considered the nuclear option for a reason. It is massively detrimental, not just to the Russian economy, but to the global economy as a whole and the financial system as we know it. So there are these risks there. I think what we're seeing in bond markets in Russia specifically is localized. I don't think we're necessarily going to see it have this contagion effect into broader market pricing. It is just purely a case of these international banks wanting to shift the exposure off.
Well, Simon, I know it's the end of your day there in London. We appreciate you sticking around for us. Simon Harvey, Monex Europe, head of FX analysis.